You're listening to the Sex and Psychology Podcast, the sex ed you never got in school and won't get anywhere else. I am your host, Dr. Justin Lay Miller. I am a social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. Polyamory and open relationships are nothing new. People have been having multi-partner and sexually open relationships for centuries. What is new is the way that consensual non-monogamy has become a huge part of the cultural conversation. From cover stories in mainstream publications to increasing film and television portrayals, it is being discussed and shown in places that have long shied away from it. At the same time, public interest in exploring non-monogamy seems to be growing. For example, several nationally representative U.S. surveys have pretty consistently found that somewhere around one-third of American adults say that their ideal relationship would be something other than monogamy. But if you want to pursue some form of consensual non-monogamy, what do you need to know? In today's show, we're going to explore practical tips for navigating non-monogamy. Some of the topics we'll explore include the questions to ask yourself before opening up, as well as common issues that arise in multi-partner relationships and how to deal with them, including jealousy, polysaturation, and new relationship energy. We'll also talk about some common relationship red flags in polyamorous relationships. I am joined once again by Shamira Howard, a licensed clinical social worker and ASEX certified sex therapist. Shamira founded On the Green Couch, where she helps people to manage sexual issues, create their best relationships, and have amazing sex. Her work has been featured all over in the media, and she is the resident sex and relationship expert on Peacock's dating reality series titled Couple to Thruple. This is going to be a fun and fascinating conversation. Stick around, and we're going to jump in right after the break. If you love the science of sex as much as I do, consider becoming a friend of the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. The Kinsey Institute is the world's premier research organization on sex and relationships, and you can help them continue the legacy of Dr. Alfred Kinsey, whose pioneering research changed everything we think we know about sex. Visit kinseyinstitute.org to make an impact. Your donations can help support ongoing research projects on critical topics. You can also show your support by following Kinsey Institute on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for supporting sex science. Okay, Shamira, let's talk about navigating polyamory and consensual non-monogamy. Let's start at the very beginning. So let's say you have a couple who's interested in opening up their relationship and they've never done this before. What are some of the key things they need to know or think about before going down this path? And I think this is the best place to start because oftentimes people will have these idealized expectations about what it's going to be like to open up a relationship. And it can be hard to live up to that if you don't have a reality check first. So give us that reality check.
The reality here is whenever a couple specifically is wanting to open up their relationship to non-monogamy or polyamory is to, one, know what it is. So one of the things that happens is that people will say, I want another partner. We want to be non-monogamous or polyamorous. And they only see sex or they think of this as solely something sexual, which I have to help them identify what they want. So we talk about non-monogamy here basically means that you're okay and you agree and consent to being with other people outside of the person you're partnered with currently. And then we talk about different types of non-monogamy and the differences between open relationships and polyamorous relationships. A lot of people are describing open relationships where they want to have more casual sexual encounters with people and maybe have swinging relationships, but not necessarily romantic partnered relationships. And that's where polyamory comes in, where polyamory is more about having simultaneous multiple relationships, right? So it's basically being involved in several romantic relationships at the same time. So if that sounds like something that a couple is interested in, number one, what I always say is to know your why. Why do you want to do this, right? So you really want to hone in on that why, because that's going to take you through the process. And then the next thing is, what is your goal? What is your goal for this? Is your goal like this is to just relive a fantasy? Is this something we want for long term? Is this something we only want to do on vacation? Is this how we want our lifestyle to be, right? So what is your goal and how's it going to affect your relationship? And then we get to going into the boundaries of it all, right? And so we can't talk about boundaries without talking about core values. We have to make sure when we're talking about our whys and our goals that our core values are aligned. And this is where a lot of couples realize that their core values aren't aligned. Because you got to share the same core values. So if one person values monogamy and the other person is like, you know what, I'm pretty fluid at this point in my life, I don't value monogamy as much as I did, it may not be a good idea to immediately consider non-monogamy. And so the next thing is to educate yourselves on what it is you're getting yourself into. I recommend reading, talking to people who've been in the lifestyle. And I mean, reading credible stuff like Opening Up and Tristan Taramino stuff and different types of literature, Polysecure, Polyattached by Jessica Fern. Those are some great resources that I recommend people to really check out before they get there. And also sex positive and affirming, also informed sex experts, sex therapists, sex coaches who can help you to create your goals and your boundaries surrounding polyamory and non-monogamy, and then figure out which direction you want to go in. Because, you know, there's a lot to be considered when we're talking about this. And one of the things I help people do in my practice is I help them to explore opening up their relationships. And so we create their agreements and contracts on whatever that means for them specific to their relationship, where we talk about time, where we talk about who they're going to be. Is this going to be open, closed? Are you going to be fluid bonded with someone else? And so are like, what types of barrier methods are you going to use? And how are you going to have reconnection rituals? How are you going to navigate another partner in this relationship? So it's not as simple as what you see on TV. You might see people getting in the bed and having sex with each other, or you might see people going on dates with a partner, or you might even hear in a song, my girl got a girlfriend. It's definitely not as simple as that. And so basically getting guidance before you attempt to just go head first, no pun intended, into the lifestyle is going to be key to have successful and thriving non-monogamous or polyamorous relationship.
Thanks for sharing all of that. Now, I want to ask you the same question, but from the perspective of someone who isn't already part of a couple or a relationship, because not everybody who's opening up is opening up from the place of being a formerly monogamous couple. So you might just be single and wanting to explore this. I think a lot of the things that you said are going to make sense and are going to apply here, you know, figuring out why do I want to do this? What are my goals? But what else would you suggest for somebody to think about if they're venturing into the world of polyamory or non-monogamy as a solo individual?
Yeah. So solo individuals and people who experience solo poly have to ask themselves the same thing. What do I want out of this? What's my goal? But also, who do I want to date? What type of people do I want to partner with? And what would that look like? What would a successful polyamorous or non-monogamous relationship look like? And most importantly, what am I not willing to accept? Especially if you want to date couples, because we have to understand that when dating couples who are established, there's this idea of couple privilege that is established in relationships. And sometimes it's really hard to date another couple because there's a hierarchy that's there. There's a power differential that's there. So knowing what type of dating scenarios or relationship scenarios or dynamics you want to be a part of, what you are and what you're not willing to do, and just knowing as a single person, what are your boundaries as well? And how are you going to assert those boundaries with someone new and also multiple people? And just knowing your threshold of partners, right? So sometimes people will get into this and they're like, oh, I can date anybody I want to. And then they realize that they have gone beyond their threshold, right? And so then they're like, you know, poly isn't for me. And it's not that it's not for you, but six partners may not be for you. You might do better with two, boo.
Right. And, you know, that gets into another question I was going to ask you, which is about this idea of polysaturation. So the universal symbol for polyamory is a heart laced with an infinity sign, which suggests that you can love an infinite number of people. And while technically that may be true, you can't have relationships with an infinite number of people because there just aren't enough hours in the day, right? So there's a saturation point in the number of connections you can maintain before things start falling apart. So can you speak to some tips for managing time and energy and knowing when you've found that saturation point?
Absolutely. So polysaturation is one of the challenges that a lot of polyamorous people experience when it comes to time allocation, right? And so we know with one partner, we talk about figuring out date night, like where are we going to go if we have kids, babysitters, the time, because we might have work, we need rest. So think of doing that with multiple people, right? And so it's important for us to pay attention to our bodies and pay attention to what's coming up for us so that we don't over assert ourselves into communities or into relationship with people. Because like you said, Justin, we can love lots of people at the same time. As I identify love as being committed to someone's purpose, right? And so it's, I'm team you all the way, right? And so when we're talking about relationships, though, and polyamory is a relationship, and so that requires us to be in relationship with people, and that requires energy. And we don't have infinite energy. So it's going to be really important for us to manage our time and our, I call it our tasks, because I don't think we can manage time, but we can manage our tasks. And I like to identify the concept of creating SMART goals, even in our relationships with having measures and calendars. A lot of people make fun of the Google calendars in polyamorous relationships, but basically having everything identified, having a calendar. A lot of people share their calendars so that they'll know what to do and how much bandwidth they have, how much time they have to do what they want to do. But basically figuring out setting goals, making sure it's something that you can actually achieve, they're realistic and time bound. So you know how much, I like to start with time, right? So if you only have a weekend for another partner, right? And you know that I have this weekend, and within this weekend, I'm going to have 16 hours because of work to spend with my partners. You have to figure out who you can spend time with and how much time you can spend with each of those partners. So if you want to spend, if you have three partners, you have to divvy up that time between three partners. And so you know if you're doing too much, if you're constantly frustrated, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling withdrawn in the relationship, if you're avoiding partners, and if you're like, you know what, I'm reconsidering this because I don't have time. It may not be that you don't have time. You just aren't allocating it right, and you have too many partners. Based on everything else that you have going on in life, you might have to scale back a couple partners, okay?
Yeah, you know, and I feel like this is something we talked about previously, that another potential sign that you might be oversaturated is when you really start to neglect that relationship that you have with yourself, right? And so the relationship you have with yourself is really key and crucial and important. And if you never have time for yourself at all, and it's always about this person and then that person and then someone else, and there's no break, you know, I think that can also be very tough. And that can be a sign that maybe you're a little overextended.
You're overextended. That is a great point. You know, and I know people are on this self-care kick now. And so that the ultimate self-care begins with the self, right? And so how I identify self-care is, what do you need to do every day to function at your optimal level? And that usually doesn't cost any money, right? And so sometimes that's, I need to get more sleep. I only get 4 hours. I know that I function better at 6. So what do I need to do to get 2 more hours of sleep? I need to eat. I haven't been eating breakfast, and I know that I have insulin resistance. And if I don't eat, then I'm going to feel sick. What do I need to do to make sure that I eat, right? And so again, if you are neglecting yourself because, oh my goodness, I can't eat breakfast today because I got to get on the road to go see three partners, then again, like you said, Justin, you're overextended.
Yeah. So let's talk about some other tips for navigating non-monogamy. And I want to bring up the point of boundaries, which you mentioned a couple of times earlier. You know, boundary setting is an important part of any healthy relationship, but a lot of us really struggle with setting boundaries, even if we're setting boundaries with just one other person. So can you speak to how we set boundaries with multiple partners, including the fact that, you know, setting boundaries with one person might have implications for the boundaries that you're going to have in other relationships, you know? So it's sort of negotiating multiple sets of boundaries at once is another complicated task here.
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the reasons why a lot of people have issues with setting boundaries is because they don't really know what that means, right? It's like one of those buzz terms that came around and people started saying, you got to set boundaries. You got to set boundaries. And people don't really know what that means. And a lot of people aren't familiar with how to, the difference between boundaries and rules, right? And so a boundary is all about you, right? And it's all about what your limits are. It's not necessarily imposing what someone else should do. That is what a rule is. It's basically dictating someone else's behavior. People who set rules, generally the person doesn't have any agency when there's rules, all one-sided. But a boundary is all about what you are willing to do and what your own limits are. So for example, one of the boundaries that comes up when I'm in therapy with people who are either polyamorous or opening up relationships is sexual boundaries. And it's basically people, they start understanding boundaries when we start with sex. For some reason, because people know what they aren't willing to do sexually. So once I start talking to people about sex, and okay, you meet a new partner, what does sex look like with them? Do you immediately go? Are there barriers? And they're like, well, I don't engage in oral sex with new partners. And I like for my partners to get tested before we engage in any type of sexual activities, especially if we're going to be fluid bonded. And I don't have sex with people unless we have tests, and I show them my tests. And so one of the ways to assert that boundary is to basically say, I'm open to having sex with you. However, I am not open to having sex with you without any barrier method, specifically a condom. And if I understand that that's not your thing, right? Because a person can honor your boundary or not. And if they don't honor your boundary, then the consequence to that is you restrict access. Their access to you is restricted. So you tell them your boundary around sex. And if they're like, okay, yeah, I can use a barrier method. You can also say that, you know, I like to know my partner's status and I like to share my status as well. Is that something you're open to? And so again, if they are, if they're not, that is up to them. And if that's not something you're with, you get to impose a consequence of restricting access. Here, your access is your body, or whatever types of sexual experiences you thought you were going to have, you're not. And so people kind of understand boundary setting in that aspect. And then we go further when we start talking about time allocation. What are the boundaries? How do you set boundaries around time? Specifically, if you're dating someone and around phone calls, are you okay with receiving phone calls anytime with this person? And so a way to set boundaries, like, you know what, I really don't like people calling me after midnight, right? And so it's like, I turn my phone off around midnight. And so I generally don't accept calls at midnight. And so basically, you're letting them know that you're not okay with receiving calls after midnight. Now, if you have a partner who insists on calling you after midnight, they obviously are not honoring that boundary. So you have to make that a conversation with them. Hey, I noticed that I asked if it's okay if you don't call me after midnight. You're still calling me after midnight. Is that going to be an issue for us going forward? What do we need to do? And so if you recognize it as an issue, it's time to restrict the access. So I always tell or always have seen where it works, where people start with boundary setting when we're talking about sex, because they start to understand it more than I ask them, okay, well, what are your boundaries when you're dating people? How many partners are you okay with dating? What are your boundaries with your partner, right? And as a relationship, what are your relationship's boundaries? Like, how do y'all want to communicate when you are with other partners? Is this something that y'all talk about beforehand, afterhand? Do y'all talk to each other during? And so during meaning when you're with another partner. One of the things that actually have helped is what I talked about, the reconnection rituals. And that's a lot of couples' boundaries now, is that their relationship boundary is whenever we've been with another partner, we have a reconnection ritual that doesn't include sex. And so a reconnection ritual is just basically something to help you reconnect at home or if, you know, are with another partner. And this is specifically for people who have nesting partners, someone who they live with, who they're in a relationship with.
Yeah, thanks for sharing all of that. Lots to think about there and lots of great practical suggestions on setting boundaries. So let's talk a little bit about jealousy. Now, as I've said on the show many times before, many people think that jealousy isn't supposed to be a thing in polyamory and non-monogamous relationships. And many also think that if it does emerge, that it's necessarily a bad, horrible, terrible, awful thing. So how do you encourage people to think about jealousy? And what can you do when jealousy starts to rear its head in a poly relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Jealousy is one of the number one things that comes up when people are like, polyamory, you're going to be jealous, or they're going to be jealous. I've even heard people say, oh, you're just jealous. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a thing. People get jealous. Even people in monogamous relationships have issues or experience jealousy. And so one of the ways I help people to identify jealousy or to reframe jealousy is, let them know jealousy is another emotion, just like happiness or sadness. And I'm like, do you have a problem with happiness? They're like, no. I say, well, why do you have a problem with jealousy? And they're like, because we're not supposed to be jealous. And who told you that? Right. And so society basically has told us that it's basically a character default if we get jealous, because that part of humanity, that part of being human, is not supposed to exist within us, because there's some magical strength that we have deep, deep down inside us that takes jealousy away. And it's just expend way more energy trying to prevent jealousy than actually embracing it. And so there are lots of ways jealousy comes up. And so whenever jealousy comes up in relationships, especially in poly or non-monogamous relationships, it's generally because someone has recognized that it's an alarm. There's a threat that's happening. I'm sensing a threat. Somebody is taking something away from me, or somebody is interfering with something that's safe to me and that I know to be true about this relationship. You're spending too much time with your other partner. Does that mean you don't want to spend time with me? And so generally when people are experiencing some types of jealousy like that, they need the reassurance, right? They need the reassurance that you still see me, you still want me, and most importantly, you still choose me as well. Right. Yeah, I know I said that I'm okay with this. And there's a misconception that if people are okay with polyamory, that they shouldn't be jealous because they signed up for this. And it's like, no, I am okay with being a human, and I'm okay with experiencing joy, so I'm not okay with experiencing sadness, because again, that is seen as a negative emotion. And so what I like to tell people is that emotions and feelings, they don't exist on any type of spectrum. They just exist, and they just want to be. They're just here to teach us something about ourselves. And so what you want to do if you experience any moments of jealousy, or if you experience a threat in your non-monogamous or polyamorous relationship, is ask yourself, what is it trying to tell you about yourself? What are you feeling about it? And what do you need in the moment? Sometimes you just need to identify, like, oh, I just feel a little jealous. Sometimes you may need reassurance from your partner. And so what that's going to require is that you use your mouth, right? You're going to have to talk to your partner about it. And some people are so insecure about talking to their partners about jealousy, because I'm not supposed to be jealous, right? But you want to talk to your partner, and you basically want to let them know, I felt a little jealous when I saw how close you were with your other partner, not because we're not close, but just because in that moment, I kind of wanted to be close to you as well. And sometimes you don't need anything but to just state that. And so to just get it out. And other times you might feel like, you know what? You and your other partner have been going on some really cool dates lately, and I've really been jealous about that because I haven't even thought to go on these types of dates with you. And you might need reassurance, or you might need to say, is it okay? We plan something different than what we've usually planned. And that's it, using your mouth. And so you want to make sure, though, when you are experiencing, or if you do experience jealousy in a poly or non-monogamous relationship, you want to be careful of how you respond to that jealousy. Right. So you don't want to be accusatory because you're experiencing jealousy with telling your partner stuff like, oh, you don't like me no more. You don't spend no time with me. You've been spending all of this time with your partner. And I noticed that you've been talking on the phone with your other partner, with y'all talking about me. So you start getting, you start speculating and getting the paranoia. You really want to make sure that you are channeling your jealousy in a positive and productive way.
Yeah. I think everything you said there is great. And a great way to think of this is jealousy is information, right? It's telling you something, and it's getting into everything that you just described. Like, you need to understand what that information is And that will tell you what it is you need to do with it. And you're so right that when it comes to jealousy, that the counterproductive approach is to just turn it around on your partner, right? And to not even acknowledge that, you know, this is really about your own jealousy, but to make it a problem or character defect with them instead. That doesn't really lead anywhere good. So use that information and use it in a productive way. Now, jealousy is something that is often described as a red flag in polyamory and non-monogamous relationships. But as you just described, nope, it's not. Jealousy is information. But what would be a red flag, or what are some red flags that are signs that, you know, hey, there's trouble ahead, right? That we need to pay attention to here.
Absolutely. So there are red flags. You know, people think if we're in a polyamorous relationship, then anything goes, right? And so anything doesn't go. That's why we set boundaries, right? And agree, we have agreements. And so a big red flag in a polyamorous or non-monogamous relationship is a partner who violates boundaries, because that happens as well in non-monogamous relationships. People are like, oh, yeah, we're going to be non-monogamous or poly. We're not going to be worried about cheating. I mean, relationship structures are not an antidote to cheating, because people cheat in all types of relationships. And so you want to pay attention to the red flags if somebody cheats, right? That's obviously, for many people, that could be a red flag. And so cheating here, when we're talking about cheating, we're talking about relationship violation. We're talking about some type of relationship betrayal, not necessarily sexual, because all cheating isn't sexual. So it basically, if you have a boundary that your dynamic is closed, and your partner decides to not tell you that they want to start dating someone else, and they start dating someone else, then for a lot of people in their dynamic, that would be considered cheating. That would be considered betrayal and a boundary violation, which is a red flag as well. Also, a partner who is committed to not communicating with you effectively in the relationship, in a polyamorous relationship, because they're of the idea that anything goes. I recently heard another sexologist speaking about their previous marriage in a polyamorous relationship with a partner who indeed mentioned they didn't want to communicate because they were a don't ask, don't tell type of person after they had gotten married. And so that is a red flag, because you cannot, I mean, having a monogamous relationship requires an extensive amount of communication and information sharing and listening. So you can only imagine what that means for polyamorous relationships. So if a partner is committed on saying, you know what, we're in this, you're in this, you decided to get in this, and I'm only going to share what I want to share, that's a red flag.
Thanks for sharing that. So one more question for you. Another issue that sometimes comes up in non-monogamous relationships is this idea of new relationship energy. So for people who aren't familiar with the term, what does new relationship energy mean? And how do you prevent that from becoming a problem in your relationships?
So this is so tricky, because new relationship energy is basically your brain trying to sabotage you. People. So new relationship energy is basically all of those endorphins and those good feels that you get at the start of a new relationship, when you start feeling like, oh my God, I really love this person. We're meant to be together. We're going to get married, or we're going to do all of the things. And it's because you're on a literal high because of limerence and how the brain works. Basically, you're experiencing a lot of lust and the energy is high. You want to be around this person all the time. You're enjoying them. And it's basically because you really haven't experienced a lot of life with them, or you haven't experienced certain types of situations. So you really are enjoying it, right? And so one of the ways to make sure that NRE, or new relationship energy, doesn't sabotage you is give it some time. So do not rush into situations because of basically what your body is telling you. Your body is basically saying sex. I want sex from this person, based on a lot of the things that's happening in the brain and in the chemistry. And this is going to be controversial. So when I'm talking about dating people, I'm talking about gathering information. To me, and how I describe dating, is gathering data on the person you're with, to see if you align with basically what your goals are, your core values and your relationship goals, and what you want out of a partner. And that takes a while to do. So it's not going to take those 2 months, those 2 weeks that you get with that new relationship energy where you just feel like this is the best person you ever met. It's going to take some time of getting to know them and getting to know them in certain situations. So I like to tell people to take their time when dating. I don't mean like going out to dinner. I mean, literally figuring out the person you're talking to, even before you decide to go on a physical venture with them, right? To dinner or anywhere. Have some phone conversation dates first where you're getting to know them. And I talk about this in my Use Your Mouth book, where you are asking them questions about different intimacy types, emotional, intimate, sexual, physical, just so you'll know if you're even on the same page. Social intimacy, a big one that people forget, financial intimacy. So you want to get to know them. And I recommend at least a year of dating a person, right? 6 months to a year of really getting to know someone before you decide to jump into some type of exclusivity or commitment with them, because it takes about that time before people stop showing their representative.
Yeah, definitely take your time. I think that is great advice for all relationships. Don't move too fast. And if you're non-monogamous or polyamorous, don't start too many relationships too quickly.
Not too quickly.
Yes. So thank you so much for this amazing conversation, Shamira. It was a pleasure to have you here. Can you please tell my listeners where they can go to learn more about you and your work?
Thank you so much for having me. I always love speaking with you. And if you want to see what I do, go on thegreencouch.com. I'm also on social media, specifically, I think Instagram mostly, at Sexologist Shamira, and I talk back.
And I will be sure to include links to all of that in the show notes. So thank you again so much for your time. I really appreciate having you here.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you for listening. To keep up with new episodes of this podcast, visit my website, Sex and Psychology, at sexandpsychology.com, or subscribe on your favorite platform, where I hope you'll take a moment to rate and review the show. You can also follow me on the socials for daily sex research updates. I'm on Twitter and TikTok at Justin Lehmiller and Instagram at Justin J. Lehmiller. Also, be sure to check out my book, Tell Me What You Want. And if you have a question you'd like me to answer on a future episode of this show, you can leave me a podcast voicemail at speakpipe.com/sexandpsychology. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.